And welcome to Eucharist 101 with the Red Sea Apostolate. I'm your host, Evan Atkins, here with Red Sea's Vice President of Education and Evangelization, Deacon Robin Waters. Deacon, how are you this morning?
I'm blessed, Evan. It's an honor to be here to be a part of this series.
Do you steal that blessed thing from Father Larry Richards? Is that where that comes from?
No, that's just what I always say.
Okay. All right. I like it. Okay. So through this course, through this seven-day mini-series, we're going to be discussing the basics of the Eucharist, the 101 level stuff. Like on today, we're going to talk about what is the Eucharist. We're going to talk about the very, very basics of even what is a sacrament. We're going to go through the very basics of the catechism, and then we're going to get into some of the more deep topics. So this is a full spectrum course. Don't leave us on day one just because it's not deep enough for you. Also, don't be scared about day three or four that it's going to be too deep. We're going to walk with you hand. We're going to hold your hand as we go through this course.
We've got to lay the foundation first, right?
Yes. Yep. And you might even find, if you're a lifelong Catholic, you might find there are a couple things in here. I certainly have through our research, and I'm a cradle Catholic myself. I found there's some things that I didn't know, and Deacon has been a very enlightening resource in this area.
Our faith is so deep and rich, there's always things to learn.
Day two, we're going to go into what do Jesus and the apostles, and then even beyond that, what does the Old Testament say about the Eucharist? Is the Eucharist biblical? It's one of the biggest, most controversial topics in Christendom today.
Yep.
Day three, we're going to talk about the deeper theology of the Eucharist. We're going to go into just some of the deeper topics, some of the things that the saints, St. Thomas Aquinas, the Catechism, what is the Eucharist in its theological sense? Day four, we're going to talk about why the Eucharist is uniquely Catholic and why Catholics are a Eucharistic people. The Catechism Absolutely. Calls the Eucharist the source and the summit of the entire Christian life. And we're going to discuss why that is. Day five, we're going to go through some questions, some common cultural objections, and maybe even some heresies.
Yep.
We're going to answer those and take any questions that you might have as the audience. And day six, we're going to talk about some Eucharistic miracles. You know, when I was researching these, it occurred to me that there are a lot more Eucharistic miracles than I thought there were.
It's amazing, Evan. They're all over the world.
And there are a lot more very recent Eucharistic miracles that aren't talked about that you can go and verify for yourself today. You can go to these places and see them. So stick around. Day six is going to be incredible. And we will also have a little personal testimony from our very own Deacon Robin Waters.
Sure. God is good.
And then I did say this is a seven-day series. So on the day seven, we're going to talk about, we're going to have an interview with a friend of the apostolate, Deacon Dan Lupo, who's also a friend of our deacon here.
He was one of my formators.
He's going to talk about the Eucharistic revival that's taking place in the United States through the last year and then for the next 2 years.
Yep.
And they're going to go through what that means, why it's happening right now, and then how you can get involved. So that's what we'll be talking about in the seven-day course. Stick with us and stick through day one here. We're going to go through the basics. That said, before we jump in, I want to discuss some basic assumptions that we make and explain who we are and kind of the level that we're starting from. So first of all, we believe that Jesus existed and is the God-made man.
Absolutely.
If you're an atheist, a non-believer, or a non-Christian, this is not meant to persuade you that Jesus is God.
They may be interested, but
you may be interested
that's
in
not
this.
Our,
this is
our purpose.
Theology. It's intellectual in a way. But you may be better served elsewhere with some other presenter or even in a later course that we may produce, but right now this is not to convince you that God exists. But if you want to, if you're someone who wants to explore the faith, if you're a parent who wants to learn more about the Eucharist, so you can better teach your child about the faith, or if you're a recent convert or someone considering the faith, then this course is designed for you. We'll cover the basics first, like I said, for anyone newer to the faith, but then we'll progressively each day dive a little bit deeper and hopefully provide you with something spiritually and intellectually stimulating to help you kickstart your contemplation and prayer life. So without further ado, let's dive right in.
Absolutely.
Deacon, you said you had a thought.
Yeah, a couple of things I wanted to mention as we're starting this series. You know, we're all starting at a different place in our spiritual life. Some of us are infants in our spiritual life, and some of us may be, you know, old adults and really have a great understanding of it. But I once heard a priest say that I went on a retreat with, his name was Father Albert Hass, and he had a statement that he said that really stuck with me, and he said that the spiritual life is a process of being conformed by the Spirit of God to the image of Christ for the sake of others.
Mm.
And so as we continue to grow in our faith and learn more about one of the most important things in the Catholic faith, in the Christian faith in general, the Eucharist, that's something we need to think about. This is a journey. No matter where we are, we're starting from where we are. And so if you're a new Catholic, if you're even a new Christian and you just want to learn about the Catholic faith, this is a good place for you to find out where the church has been since the beginning, since Jesus started it.
Yeah.
And just follow us on this journey, and hopefully we can help you move along in your spiritual journey.
And that was the real focus of when we started this, was to give a historical and a theological background for all of this and place it into the context of daily life, which is, as we'll get to, the mission of our apostolate.
Sure.
So, Deacon, would you mind starting us off with a prayer?
Absolutely. Let us pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you're giving us to share with all those that are listening to the Eucharist 101 series. We ask that you send your blessings upon us so that we may be truthful and help to convey the message of the church. Please give us the Holy Spirit so that we may grow to know you more, especially through the Eucharist. Please bless all those who are listening. Please help us to do your will in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son,
and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So with that, we're going to jump right in. Deacon, the first topic we have here, this is our basic launching off point, as I said, the Eucharist is a sacrament.
Yes.
But what is a sacrament? If you're new to the church, you may, or if you're a non-believer just looking into the Eucharist, doing some research, you may not know what the Catholic Church considers a sacrament. I've got a couple of definitions here, and then I'm going to let you do some exposition.
Sounds good.
But the Catechism of the Catholic Church says, paragraph 114, you can go look this up, the definition of a sacrament, the sacraments of the new law, the New Testament, were all instituted by Jesus Christ, our Lord, meaning in Jesus's lifetime, in the Bible, these are all biblical, the sacraments were instituted by Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Yes.
In paragraph 1131, the Catechism says, the sacraments are efficacious signs of grace instituted by Christ and entrusted to the church by which divine life is dispensed to us. Meaning, as Jesus says in John chapter 6, which again, we'll get to in just a minute.
Yes.
If you do not eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, you have no life within you. It means the life, eternal, divine life is dispensed to us through the sacraments. And then finally, paragraph 1210, says the seven sacraments, there are seven, we'll tell you what those are, the seven sacraments touch all the stages and all important moments of the Christian life. So with that, Deacon, you had some great stories earlier.
Yeah.
Mind just diving a little bit more into what the sacraments are and why they're important specifically?
Sure. Well, I'll also share a quote from the Catechism. And one thing I want our listeners and viewers to know is that if you wanted to know if you don't have a catechism, all you have to do is type into Google CCC and the paragraph number. It will come right up.
Yeah.
So it's easy to find.
Yeah.
Real easy to find. And in paragraph 1116, it says that sacraments are powers that come forth from the body of Christ, which is ever living and life giving. They are actions of the Holy Spirit at work in His body, the Church. They are the masterworks of God in the new and everlasting covenant. And in a simpler way, if you just know this, you'll know what sacraments are. Sacraments are how Jesus chose to give us grace. He conveys grace through each of the sacraments. And that's not to say that we can't receive grace in other ways, but the sacraments are His normal, and as Catholics, we would use this term sometimes, ordinary ways of His conveying grace to us. Now, that doesn't mean that He can't give us grace in other extraordinary ways, but He put the sacraments in place specifically to distribute His graces to us so that we may share in His divine life, both now, not just in heaven, but here, while we're here today, share in His divine life now and for eternity. One of the best descriptions of a sacrament that I've enjoyed was St. Augustine back in the 5th century. Now, if you don't know who he is, he's one of the most famous Catholic scholars of all time, you know, a giant of the mind. And he said this in a very simple way, that a sacrament is an outward and visible sign of an inward and invisible grace.
Yeah.
So it's something we can see going on outside that we can't see. We can't see the spiritual world. So this inward and invisible grace that's coming down to us when we receive the Eucharist, when we're baptized, when we receive all seven of the sacraments, God's showering down mercies on us, showering down graces on us, we can't see them. Sometimes we don't feel them. And it's not about a feeling. It's about a fact that Jesus said, "This is my body," and we believe him.
Yeah.
We believe him, and he gives us grace through that.
And we'll talk about that tomorrow when we talk about what did Jesus say? Is the Eucharist biblical?
Yes.
Like I said, one of the biggest controversies in all of Christendom for hundreds of years.
Yep.
So, but before we get any further and get towards episode two, let's continue on the basics trend and talk, what are the seven sacraments of the church?
Right. So the church divides the sacraments into three different categories. The first ones are the sacraments of initiation, which are baptism, confirmation, and the Eucharist. And Eucharist, by the way, means thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another word for thanksgiving in the Greek. Also, the sacraments of healing, which are reconciliation and anointing of the sick, and the sacraments of service, which are holy orders and matrimony. So that's the seven: baptism, confirmation, Eucharist, reconciliation, anointing of the sick, holy orders, and matrimony.
And this, it maybe isn't super relevant, but there are certain ones that you as a deacon get to administer. Is that correct?
I do. I'm going to do two baptisms tomorrow morning.
Wow.
So that's a blessing. Baptisms, that's really, matrimony is the other one that actually in matrimony, you know, the people that are getting married are the ministers.
And I'm, oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, the people that are getting married are the ministers of the sacrament, and the priest or the deacon is just the person that officiates the ceremony.
I'm going to tell my fiance to call me minister in 4.5 months. Okay. and then for those, that's the last little thing here. For those who don't know, anybody who's new or new to the church or not Catholic, what is confirmation, and then what is holy orders?
Okay. Well, confirmation is very misunderstood, especially in our country, in the Western world in general, because we tend to get confirmed as teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost come to be in many places as a like a rite of passage.
Yeah.
You know, you get to be a teenager, you're confirmed, and then you're done.
You're an adult in the church, maybe.
And that is so untrue. It does not mean you're an adult in the church. What confirmation is it's another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So at baptism, you receive the Holy Spirit. At confirmation completes your baptismal promises so that at that time, you have everything you need. God has given you everything you need to go and proclaim the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You may not feel it, you may not know it, but it's in your heart and soul. And that's one of the three sacraments, including with baptism and holy orders, in which your soul has an indelible mark placed upon it as a Christian. And as a person that has received the Holy Spirit in that way.
And that will go with you forever. I was saying earlier when the bishop confirmed me and my classmates back up in the Diocese of Buffalo back in 2016. Yes, I'm young for anybody listening in the audio. he said, he looked at us and said, you know, baptism is sort of like receiving the presence. And then confirmation is like unwrapping.
Absolutely. It's the same thing that Peter received at Pentecost.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And, you know, they say
he went out
that,
and preached to hundreds and converted thousands.
Well, you know, it's fairly well known that Peter was not a good preacher.
Yes.
But at Pentecost, 3,000 people joined the church, not by his great preaching, but by the power of the Holy Spirit.
So maybe there's some hope for us.
Yeah, you know, especially for me as a deacon who I had to preach this morning and I don't know how it went. Got no feedback.
Okay, so moving on then from what are the sacraments, we'll talk about what is the significance of the Eucharist as a sacrament? The Catechism, again, we'll be using the Catechism a lot here. But the Catechism says, the Eucharist is a sign of grace by which divine life is dispensed to us. And then in the Bread of Life discourse, which we'll talk about more tomorrow, but John chapter 6, Jesus says, in John's Gospel, I am the bread of life. He says, if you eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, you will have eternal life within you. And if you don't, you won't. It's pretty simple. It's clear cut. But why do we receive the Eucharist every week? Why is it important to receive the Eucharist every week? Why is the Eucharist the source and the summit of the Christian life?
You know, I've said this for a long time, that if the Eucharist is not the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus, the church is a house of cards.
Mm-hmm.
Everything falls.
Yes.
And we believe that it is because Jesus said so, as mm-hmm. you said in John 6, which we'll cover later. But often people will, in talking about the scriptures, they'll quote St. Paul, or who is the primary writer of the New Testament. But I always fall back on Jesus
mm-hmm.
because the church tends to believe Jesus in a fairly literal way, unless he's talking about a parable or something that's meant to be an alliteration, you know. So Jesus is telling us that he wants us to receive, and he's trying to give us his love. He's trying to give us himself.
Mm-hmm.
And why would we deny that?
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, we'll talk more about that tomorrow, of just what is Jesus trying to tell us about the Eucharist? Why is it so important that we eat his flesh and drink his blood? Why would he use that as a symbolism? And just a little foreshadowing, he used the symbol of bread and wine because that was basic sustenance for the day.
Yes.
A Jewish farmer in those times might only have bread and wine to eat and drink to have his sustenance 4 or 5 days out of the week. You know, have a little meat maybe once a week or something like that. But the majority of the time they had bread and they had some wine.
It's something they understood.
It was something they understood, and it was the very basics of life. If you didn't have that, you did not have life. And so it carries over right exactly the words that he says in John 6. That was the last point I had. Deacon, as you help catechize new members of the church and other things, what are some of the basic, just basic things about the Eucharist that you share?
Well, the first thing, you know, when we talk about how are we going to integrate these teachings into our daily life?
Mm-hmm.
Because at Red Sea, for those that don't know, Red Sea stands for Religious Education for the Domestic Church.
Mm-hmm.
So our whole apostle is geared towards helping others and their families grow closer to the Lord.
Yes, help them integrate Catholic teaching into their daily life.
Absolutely.
At every turn.
And the easiest and most effective way to do that is by going to Mass
mm-hmm.
daily, if possible. Most probably non-Catholics don't know that the Catholic Church has Mass every day.
Yeah.
Father is preaching a homily every day. We are hearing Scripture, multiple passages from Scripture every day.
Yes.
And we're receiving the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ every day.
And in the church, it's 24/7, 365. There's always the sacrifice of the Mass happening throughout the world.
Somewhere in the world, it's happening at mm-hmm. all times. And Jesus is always in the church, in the tabernacle, just waiting for us to come and spend time with him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you hear about a lot of people say, well, where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is. Well, in every Catholic church, Jesus is there all the time.
Yes.
He is mm-hmm. there. And I challenge folks, too, especially if you're a new Christian, to go to the church that you're going to now, and then just sit there about 20 minutes and contemplate some scriptures or something.
Yes.
And then go sit in the Catholic church and do the same thing. Any Catholic church, you will notice there's a presence.
Mm-hmm.
And the
I've
presence
heard that a lot.
Is the Lord.
Yeah. I've heard that from a lot of Protestants who converted eventually. Just one other thing to help integrate the teachings into your daily life. If you're a non-Christian, a non-Catholic, or a non-believer at all, what I would recommend is spending some time with these passages that will, you know, from the catechism that we'll give you or from the Bible that we'll give you tomorrow. Spend some time with these and really ask, if you believe in Jesus, ask Jesus. If you believe, if you don't believe, just throw a prayer to God and ask him to prove to you that he's in the Eucharist. Ask him to prove to you that he's real, and he will. He will. He's done it. I've experienced it. I've heard lots of people say that they said a prayer like that, and maybe not right at first, but often right at first, Jesus just comes through. He'll speak the words to you in a different way that you can actually hear it, or he'll put something in your life that just makes you believe. So with that, we're going to end it right here for this first installment of Eucharist 101. If you found us through one of our marketing campaigns, please check back into your inbox tomorrow morning and you'll find the link to the next episode in your email. But if you're listening here on podcast or YouTube, simply check back here tomorrow for episode 2. Or subscribe and you'll get a notification to that effect as well. And tomorrow we will talk again, like I said, about whether the Eucharist is or is not biblical. This is the biggest point of contention in Christendom between Catholics and Protestants and evangelicals. What did Jesus say? What did the apostles say? What does the Old Testament say about the Eucharist? What are the foreshadowings? Do the prophecies come true in the Eucharist or not? And if it does, if they are true, if it is a prefigurement and Jesus does say, this is my body, this is my blood, and this is real, it's not a sign, what does that mean for us?
I mean, you need to be Catholic.
That's one interpretation for sure. Here at the Red Sea Apostolate, we are committed to helping families integrate Catholic teaching into the context of their daily life. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to tune in tomorrow, but also check out our other Red Sea Productions podcasts, courses, and events. Or listen to live Catholic radio 24/7 on KEDC 88.5 FM in the Brazos Valley, KYAR 98.3 FM in Central Texas. And if you don't live in Texas, you can listen anywhere in the world on our Red Sea mobile app. Of course, you can find all this information and more at redsearadio.org. That's red, the letter C, radio.org. Thank you for listening. Again, I'm your host, Evan Atkins, here with Vice President of Education and Evangelization, Deacon Robin Waters. Please know that you are in our prayers, and please do keep us in yours. Deacon, would you close us with a blessing?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. O God, by whose word all things are made holy, pour out your blessings upon all those listening to the Eucharist 101 series, and grant that as they live their lives in accordance with your will and law, and with the spirit of thanksgiving, they may experience by your power health in body and mind and protection in soul as they invoke your most holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
From all of us here at the Red Sea Apostolate, we can't wait to see you tomorrow. God bless.
God bless.